And we are so excited that you are here to worship with us at Rush Creek Bible Church this morning. I'm glad to see that you were able to make it through the treacherous winter wonderland. Thank you for braving the snow to come on out. My name is Pastor Cameron, for those of you who don't know, and I have the privilege of preaching this morning. No, Pastor John is not hurt or sick. And no, he wasn't scared off by the snow and tried to take a vacation to a warm place. Just sometimes he needs a break. And I'm honored and blessed to be able to do that. And I'm honored and blessed to be able to speak here and to have you all be my guinea pigs as I learn how to preach, to be honest. Is my mic not on? As I learn how to turn my mic on and preach. Did you catch that last part? Like I said. Well, I guess rule number one would be don't call your audience guinea pigs. I guess I'll start with that. Or it'll come back to haunt you. But anyways, if you haven't worshiped with us recently, you should know that we are at the tail end of a sermon series called Fuel. And we're taking a look at prayer. Prayer is the fuel of our spiritual life. It is the means by which we communicate with God. It is the lifeblood of our relationship with Him. And so throughout this series, we have talked a lot about prayer. I mean, a lot. I mean, it's been the subject of this series for over 2 months now. We've talked about different types of prayer. We've talked about why we should pray if God already knows everything. We've talked about how prayer is a two-way street. There's give and take. We've talked about how we need to be willing to listen in prayer and not always trying to hog the microphone. We've even talked about how prayer is such an essential aspect of the spiritual warfare that goes on both within us and all around us. But as we begin to draw this series to a close, I want us to end on a very practical note. And actually, even more so, I want us to end on a very active note. Because it's very easy to talk around a subject, to discuss the theory of it, the reasons for it, the history of it, the effects of it, the importance of it. But just like gardening, no matter how long you talk about a flower or think about it or theorize what it could look like, you will never have a flower until you get on your hands and knees and get your hands dirty and dig in the dirt and plant that seed and water that seed and take care of that flower until you finally see the fruit of it. I have the privilege of being an adjunct professor at Grace Bible College. I teach one class, one day a week, for 1.5 hours. It's pretty impressive, I know. But the class I teach is spiritual formation and Christian service. And so primarily we spend the majority of our time and the majority of the semester talking about and working through and learning about spiritual formation. Topics such as relational spirituality, paradigm spirituality, exchanged life spirituality, and how they all relate to our individual spiritual formation. But there's one facet, there's one aspect of spiritual formation that typically resonates with my students more than the others, and that's disciplined spirituality. Specifically referring to and thinking about the spiritual disciplines. And so we spend a lot of time working through what are the spiritual disciplines. Prayer, silence, solitude, journaling, devotions, scripture reading, fasting. And the reason I think this resonates well with my students is because they're tangible. A lot of what we talk about in spiritual formation is almost, well, it's very spiritual. It's kind of ethereal. It's kind of feelings-ish. And sometimes we're not always comfortable talking about feelings. But when we talk about spiritual disciplines, now we have something that we can grab onto. Now we have something that we can engage in, that we can actively participate in. And so one of the things that I like to do with my class is on one of the days that we're talking about spiritual disciplines, I like to get rid of the typical lecture-style format. Lord knows they need a break from me anyways. And I like to sit down with them and simply spend the entire class time not just talking about spiritual formation, not just talking about the spiritual disciplines, but actually engaging them as a class. And so we do. We spend the entire time investing ourselves in those spiritual disciplines. This past semester, we started with a devotion at the beginning of class. And then we had a time of prayer. Both times of prayer where people were praying, classmates were praying, but then also a time of silence. We had a time of journaling. And we read through the entire book of Philippians together. And this entire time, we were also fasting. I know, an hour and a half. It was really difficult, but we made it. So, I mean, we were that much more spiritual for it. But we had a great time, and it was truly an impactful moment for us because we weren't just talking about it. Not that talking about it is bad. It's great. It's necessary. It's needed. But sometimes there's things that take root and things that take hold of our heart and our minds and our spirit when we're able to engage in it, when we're able to be active and present with those things. And so for today's sermon, I want to do something similar. We've been talking about prayer for over 2 months now. And it's not that we haven't been praying or engaging in prayer at all during this time. But today, I want us to intentionally engage in prayer in a way that we haven't yet experienced throughout this sermon series. And so I'm going to be completely honest with you. Today's sermon could be an absolute failure. I guess that's maybe lesson two of preaching. Don't tell your congregation your sermon could be terrible. Could be a total flop, but I think it could also be an incredible opportunity for us as a congregation, for us as brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together and lift up our hearts and our minds in prayer as one. Today, we are literally going to practice what we've been preaching for some time now. We're going to pray. But I mean it when I say I want us to be intentional about it. I want us to approach it practically. We're not just going to pray silently for the next 20 minutes and then call it a morning. That wouldn't make sense. Today, I want us to actually spend time in prayer using Scripture as our basis for our prayers. And I want to do that specifically by using the book of Psalms as our inspiration. I love the book of Psalms. And unfortunately, I think Psalms is one of the most underused, underutilized, and undervalued book in all of Scripture. We hear excuses like, well, it's too long, or they're meant to be sung, or there's not really any stories in it, or there's too many of them, or that chapter 119 is way too long. But I don't think any of those hold weight. Because here's the thing, the reason the book of Psalms is so important is because nowhere else in Scripture do we as Christians find so conclusively songs and prayers that are written for the sake of being said or sung back to God. And what I mean by this is that almost everywhere else in Scripture, the direction of the text is from God to us. But here in the Psalms, God has given us these words, given us these songs, given us these prayers so that we might direct them back to Him. So that we might take these very same words that He has given us and direct them back to God. That's what Israel did. The great pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer loved the Psalms, and he even wrote a book entitled Psalms, the Prayer Book of the Bible.
And the primary point behind the book was to encourage people to make Scripture the basis for their prayers, specifically the book of Psalms. This is how much he loved the book of Psalms. To this extent, he wrote, "If we wish to pray with confidence and gladness, then the words of Holy Scripture will have to be the solid basis of our prayer." And I think sometimes we just read Scripture and we forget that we can pray it back to God. There's actually, has its own title, Lectio Divina, is the art of reading Scripture in a way that paints it as this gorgeous prayer to our Lord. It has its own art form. And yet often we just don't do it. We just read it. But what would it look like if we were to pray these words back to God? But even though we have intentionally decided to pray, or actually I've decided it for you today, I apologize. And we have purposely decided to use the book of Psalms as the basis and foundation of our prayers, we still are not intentional enough. I don't want us to just randomly choose Psalms and offer them up to God. We need to be more intentional about it. But we have an opportunity here to draw on our past teachings and sermons in this series to help guide us even in our psalm selection for prayer. If you can think way back to the beginning of our Fuel series, I opened the series with a sermon that discussed what prayer is, what prayer isn't, how prayer has been misused and abused, and the different forms of prayer that we can engage in. We talked about prayers of praise and thanksgiving, prayers of confession, prayers of petition, prayers of intercession, and prayers of meditation. I still believe that each of these types of prayers serve a vital role in the health of our prayer life, in the health of our spiritual formation, in the health of our church. And so here's what I want to do. I want to briefly touch on each of these simply as a reminder, and then we're going to pray. And as I pray on our behalf, we're also going to have some people that I've asked from the audience, the congregation, to come up and pray through a psalm for us, depending upon the form of prayer that we're talking about. And as one congregation, we are going to lift up our hearts and our minds, united as one in prayer to our Lord and Savior. And so I want us to begin with praise and thanksgiving. This is declaring good things about God, both about His character, who He is, and also His actions. When we say God is good, we give praise to God. There are many styles of praise. But in every aspect, the goal is to give praise to the Lord. And it's praise that goes hand in hand with thanksgiving. Praise is also thanking God for who He is, who He has said He is. Thanking God for the grace that He has poured out upon us in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. We can thank Him both for blessings seen and those yet unseen. And rather than constantly coming to God with our list of needs and wants, we can praise Him and thank Him. So I ask you, join me in a prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we praise Your name. And we give thanks for all that You have done on our behalf. Lord, You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And there is none that is greater than You. We praise You for Your matchless glory. We praise You for Your infinite wisdom. We praise You for the salvation You have procured for us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior forever. Even creation cries out in glorious acknowledgement of the praise and honor You are due. The mountains and the valleys, the rivers and jungles all cry out the glory of Your handiwork. The victory is Yours, God, and we praise Your name. We give thanks for the clothes on our backs the roof to sleep under and the food for our nourishment. Heavenly Father, we praise your name on the basis of how you have revealed yourself to us in Scripture. And with that, as the unified body of Christ, we offer up this psalm of praise to you as our prayer.
His steadfast love endures forever. A psalm of giving thanks, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Amen.
Thank you. Second kind of prayer we must engage in is confession. As we talked about, we don't like to do this. It's hard. It reaches into the deepest parts of our soul and pulls out the darkest parts of our soul and lays them out before God to say, "Here I am, Lord." And though we know he already knows, it's so hard for us to bring it before him. The shame and the guilt that comes with it. And yet, in Christ, there is freedom. In Christ, there is forgiveness. But still, it is good for us to confess, to acknowledge the sin in our lives. We are saved as Christians, but our salvation is not yet complete. Every day it is moving closer. But until we know glory and the perfection of our resurrected bodies, it will be there, and we will have sin to confess. Please join me in a prayer for the confession of our sins. Lord God, one of the many reasons we praise your name is because you have poured out your grace upon us. Even in the midst of our sin and rebellion against you, you have given us your Son. You know our hearts. You know the sin that we don't want to do, and yet we find ourselves going back to over and over again. You know the drinking, the gambling, the lying, the cheating, the drugs, the pornography, the lust, the greed, hate, anger, jealousy, covetousness, pride, and envy. You know all of it. And so why should we hide it? So I pray that we would bring it to you individually. And as a collective whole, we bring our sin to you and we confess it to you, knowing full well that it is already forgiven. By the grace of God, we are made clean in and through Jesus Christ. And in our confession, we ask that your Spirit, which indwells us, would continue to work a good work within us. Give us the strength to turn from those things that keep us from you. And so it is as one congregation that we offer up this psalm of confession humbly to you, our God.
Blessed are the forgiven. Psalm 32. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, "I will confess my transgressions to the Lord," and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at the time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. You are a hiding place for me You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like the horse or mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts the Lord. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you in upright heart. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The third way in which we should pray is called petition. This is asking God for the things that we need and desire on an individual level. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, Paul gives us some insight into what this looks like as he writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So God wants us to come to Him with every need. He desires us to run to Him as a child to its mother and father. He wants to pour out His love and grace upon us. He has done so much already, and yet He has more. We just need to approach Him and ask of Him. And so I ask you to join me in a prayer of petition to our God. Lord God, Abba Father, You are our strength and our refuge. We need You. Every hour we need You, and we ask that You hear our prayer and come to our aid. We need Your help. We need Your confidence, Your strength, encouragement, Your wisdom, Your hope. We know that only You can provide those things for us. Only You can satisfy our soul. Lord, so often we feel surrounded by our enemies on every side. They may not always seek to destroy us. In fact, oftentimes they seek only to distract us from You, to pull us away, further away from You. Lord, do not allow the world to overcome us, but through Your Spirit which indwells us, help us to overcome the world in You. Lord, we have so many needs, emotional, physical, spiritual, and only You can come to our rescue. And so we rely not on our own strength, but we wait on You. We thirst for You. We hunger for Your Word. And through Your Word, we offer up this psalm of petition as our communal prayer to You.
My soul thirsts for You, a psalm of David, Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. In Your faithfulness, answer me. In Your righteousness, enter not into judgment with Your servant, for no one living is righteous before You. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that You have done. I ponder the work of Your hands. I stretch out my hands to You. My soul thirsts for You like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not Your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of Your steadfast love, for in You I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to You I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to You for refuge. Teach me to do Your will, for You are my God. Let Your good spirit lead me on level ground. For Your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies. You will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. The fourth form of prayer, is what we call intercession. Intercession is a type of prayer that focuses on the needs of others. Where petition is more inward, intercession is outward. Focusing on others, asking the Lord to intercede on their behalf. Intercessory prayer is truly quite broad and can cover all kinds of aspects from our own community, even our own congregation, to then Byron Center, to Grand Rapids, to our state, our country, the world, to friends and family, to neighbors, maybe to our pastors, our ministry workers, our government officials, our world leaders. We should pray on their behalf. On the back of the bulletin, we have many, many names each week that need our prayers. Those are intercessory prayers. And as the body of Christ, I would call us to them. Daily. In 1 Timothy 2, we see it clearly laid out before us, our calling to intercede on behalf of others in prayer. We read this, "First of all, I urge that supplications, prayer, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Please join me as we go to the Lord in intercessory prayer. Lord God, we lift up this world to you, the world which you created and know intimately. We think first to this congregation right here, right now, gathered together in one spirit, in one body, offering up our prayers to you. This community of believers who know and love you and come together on Sundays and all throughout the week to praise your name and fellowship in your honor and glory. Lord, this congregation has many hurting people in it, whether physical sickness or emotional or the loss of loved ones or a deep need for belonging and community. Lord, we lift up our congregation. May they find their satisfaction in you and you alone. May you meet them in their time of need and draw them in closer to you. Lord, we think of this community of Byron Center. We pray for the schools. We pray for their leadership, the teachers, the men and women who work to shape and mold the minds of our children of the next generation. May you grant them wisdom in how they train up our children, that it might be glorifying and pleasing to you, and that we might join in that process. Lord, we pray for our ministries that reach out into our community and make a difference for the sake of your gospel, both those within our church and those outside of our church that we partner with. May the people we meet and the lives we touch through those opportunities truly evidence Jesus Christ in our words and actions. Lord, we pray for our state and for our country as we wrestle with serious and significant issues that will have a major impact on our country for years to come. May you provide your wisdom and your grace to those who are in leadership. May they come to know you as their Savior. But Lord, we also look outside of our country. We look around the world at peoples and countries that are deeply hurting for the truth of your gospel. May your word and the gospel of Jesus Christ pierce to the very heart of those places and people that do not know you. And may they find new life in you. Lord, we ask this because we know you have the power to make it so, if it is your will. And so we now offer up this psalm of intercession to you as our prayer.
Trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May he remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your salvation and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call. Amen.
The last type of prayer is meditation. And by meditation, I mean the act of reflecting on God's word and quietly listening for that still, small voice. Because as we talked about, prayer is more than just ritual or tradition, but rather it is based on a personal and intimate relationship with God. And in order to do that, we have to be willing to listen. We must not always hog the microphone. It must be a conversation and a relationship with our God. And so I want to pray this psalm of meditation on our behalf. And then afterwards, I want us to just simply be still. Be still and know that He is God. Quiet your soul and listen. Pray with me. I have calmed and quieted my soul. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Lord, we thank you for meeting us in the silence, in the stillness, in the quiet place to speak to us through your word and through your spirit. What a joy it has been to meet you in prayer this morning. May you build up within us an unquenchable thirst for time in prayer, time in relationship with you. May our prayers be the backbone and the foundation of that relationship, constant and unceasing. Amen. This morning, we have gone to the Lord in prayer, both individually and collectively, united as the body of Christ, the congregation of Rush Creek Bible Church, in one spirit, with one heart, in unison, praying to our God those scriptures which He has gifted to us to lift up back to Him. We approached His throne with praise, with confession, with petition, intercession, and even meditation. Teaching about prayer and learning about prayer are good things. But taking time to put prayer into action is also a good thing. Not just individually, but collectively. right here, right now. This has been a pleasing time to the Lord. Prayer, a relationship with God, a communication with the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, our good, good Father. But it doesn't end here. Pastor John mentioned the prayer cards, and hopefully you have filled those out. And so as the walkers make their way out, to close out our service with a song, I want you to reflect on the lyrics. Good, good Father. That is who He is. And we have the opportunity to meet Him in prayer, just as we have done today. So reflect on these lyrics. And in a moment, we will invite you to come up and lay those prayer cards on these steps and take with you a bracelet as a reminder of our commitment to pray for you and your commitment to pray for us. But for right now, be still and hear the words of this song.